Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Are you ready to receive what God's got for you today? Who knows that we've already received from God already? It's amazing, isn't it? We build up in our minds what it should look like. Okay, I'll sing a couple of songs and then I'll get something new out of the message and then I'll go and either do something with it or not do something with it. And, you know, the moment we step into this place, God can be at work in our lives. But today I want to look at this particular scripture, which I've just read out from Luke 9, 12 to 17. And what I want to do is I want to look at this scripture in view of the principle of multiplication. It's a big fancy word, multiplication. I sometimes can't even say it. And there's some great things in this particular section of Luke. I know that those of us that have maybe been in church for a while or who've been to Sunday school or kids clubs or whatever, it was always a classic favourite, wasn't it? You know, let's do the feeding of the 5,000 with the kids. It's a nice, easy one. You know, they can all sit down and have a picnic and, you know, it's a nice kids worker scripture to do something with. But there's so much more to it than that. There's so much more to it than just the story of thinking, wow, isn't that great that Jesus was able to feed, and it says here, 5,000 men. So there was probably more like 20,000 people, okay? And there's some great things in here. Not only the miracle of what happened, but the principle of what that meant on that Galilean hillside, and also what it means for us today. Are you ready to see how this links into your life today?
Yes.
That it's more than just a Bible story. You ready for that?
Yes.
Cool. I'm just going to read this again for the podcast in case it wasn't recorded. So Luke 9, 12, 7 to 17. When the day began to wear away, the 12 disciples came and said to him, that's Jesus, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people, for there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Pretty awesome, eh? Pretty awesome. It's exciting times for those guys there. There's some great things in here. There's some amazing principles, some amazing miracles, not just the feeding of the 5,000, but I don't know about you, but just to point this out, slightly off message, make them sit down in groups of 50. Have you ever tried to get 20,000 people to sit down in groups of 50? You know, to get 50 kids to sit down in a group of 50 is hard enough as it is. It just makes me think of that game. We play it just for kids sometimes, where it's a bit like a musical game where kids are running around and doing what they do, like, rah! You know, when they've all gone red-faced and sweaty and hot and dripping, and you're like, the music stops and you shout, 5! And they've all got to run and get into groups of 5. And the ones that aren't in groups of 5 are then out. So I just wonder if, kind of like Peter hit the CD player, it was just like, I don't know, joy to the world. Well, groups 50! And everybody had to run into groups of 50, and it was like everybody scrambling around. It was like, sorry guys, you're in a group of 49, you're going to have to go. I don't think it worked like that, but I just kind of wonder, you know, how do you realistically get to, you know, we're talking about almost the capacity of the King Power Stadium and saying to all the Leicester fans and Liverpool fans that, okay guys, as you go out of the stadium, just get yourselves into groups of 50, okay? It's like, it just seems like that's a miracle in and of itself. And we sometimes skim over that miracle. We love the fact that everybody got fed, but we skip over the fact that these 12 poor lads were given the job by Jesus to say, get them in groups of 50. It's like, how? So I mean, they couldn't even count. Like, what, 50? How do I get them into 50? What? Okay. But they did, and it says they did. So today, what I want to look at is the fact that multiplication, that something amazing happened here, in this story. Something amazing happened in this encounter of the disciples and the Jesus and all of these people that were around. Something amazing happened. And first we see that Something must be blessed before it can multiply. Yes. Something must be blessed. So Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He took them from the disciples, or they gave them. The disciples gave what they had to Jesus. And Jesus took it, and it says here that he looked up to heaven and he blessed it, and then he broke it. So Jesus blessed what was given to him. Now that is a very, very important point for any of us. What we have has to be blessed. If it's not blessed, then it's cursed. You know, it's one or the other, isn't it? There is no middle ground. God's very black and white. There's no shades of grey in the Bible. It is just black and white, okay? All 50 of them are not there, okay? It's just, you know, black and white, okay? Right? Yeah, exactly. There are no shades of grey in the Bible. It's blessing or curse, life or death. It's all very much straight down the line. You know, I think sometimes we like to try and find a middle ground for ourselves and say, well, you know, yeah, I'm not blessed, but yeah, but I'm not cursed either. That sounds really bad. Like, well, you're either one or the other. You're either saved, not saved, life, death, blessing, curse. It's all there, you know, that's just, well, when I read my Bible, that's how it jumps out to me, is that there are no middle grounds here. It's one or the other. And so it has to be blessed. And as we know from previous teachings that we've had in here, that the only way that our money is blessed and redeemed is by giving our first fruits, or otherwise known as the tithe. And we've looked at that. It's something that we also look at in our next steps course at the beginning of the month. The fact that for something to be blessed, the first fruits of that have to be given to Jesus. It cannot be blessed without that. It has to go back to Jesus to be redeemed. It has to go back. The first fruits go to him. And Jesus is the one that receives it. And then he takes it. And he has the power to bless it. And then it can multiply. It has to go to Jesus. The first fruits have to go to Jesus. It removes the curse of the world system off it. And now I'm just covering a bit of old ground here from a message we had earlier in the year. But it sets up this multiplication principle, the fact that that's the starting point. That is the starting point. And as we do that, you know, the second principle of multiplication is this, that only what is given away can multiply. The disciples had to give something away for it to multiply. If the disciples had simply kept the food for themselves, it wouldn't have never multiplied. And they could have done. They had some really blessed bread and fish there. I think we're kind of like, Jesus blessed it. They had it. Right, okay, guys, let's have a nice meal. Are we getting this? But it wouldn't have multiplied. And the same principle applies into our finances and also other areas of our lives, that when we give over and above our tithe, that's when our finances have the potential to multiply. Now, just to touch you, I know it's kind of like thinking tithe, Christmas, like what's going on here? Why are you talking about money? Now, this is the God message that God just released. And I think it's a good one to look at because, you know, you can say, why do you have to speak about tithing again? And because I'm a pastor that loves my church and I love my people that God has entrusted me to. And if I didn't regularly touch on tithing, I wouldn't be loving you. Okay, because this is such an important principle of our life. If we don't do this, then our finances are not blessed. If we don't do this, then if our finances aren't blessed, then I dare say our lives are not blessed. And so I really wanted to labour that point this morning and bring the fact that before we get something else has to happen a lot of the time. And as we do that and as we look and think, okay, the first fruits of my increase, and how you view that yourself is up to you. How you look at that, whether you view, okay, the first fruits of your increase from your salary, the first fruits of any financial increase that comes into your life, that is between you and God. But how you work that out is, you know, I kind of just go on the side of caution. And any financial increase that comes into my life, Christmas money, birthday money, salary, whatever, then it's like, okay, well, it's tithed. I'm tithing it, okay? 10%, first fruits, bang, gone. And, you know, I might be wrong. It might just be based on the salary, but I'm not going to miss out on it. And I don't miss out. And I can say, personal testimony, God has never seen me or my family go short. I truly believe the psalm that David said about, I've never seen the godly begging in the street. God's never seen me in that place. And I know that regardless, even if I'm giving over what should be my tithe, then it just slips into this next section, which is this, our offerings. Malachi 3:8. Malachi, it's a good name for a band, that, isn't it? It says this, Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And something jumped out at me about this, because I've often read Malachi and just seen it as a thing about tithing. And it's saying, okay, there's a principle of tithing. Okay, the first fruits, the first 10% is God's. It's returned back to God, goes to him, no questions, no negotiations, it's not mine, I don't get to keep it, I have to give it back. It's just there, it has to go back to God, it is his, it's not making me generous, as we say when we look at generosity and next steps. Tithing doesn't make you a generous person. You cannot be generous with something that isn't yours. Or you can try, and then that's stealing. Okay, I often say, you know, I could be very generous with Faye's car. Okay, feel free to use Faye's car whenever you like. But it's not mine. So I can be as generous as I like, but I'm not being generous. I'm actually stealing, and I'm doing something that's not for me to do. And that first fruit, the first 10%, has to go to Jesus. It has to be returned back to him, and that is the first point of this principle. And what I love about this is that the bread and the fish were given to Jesus. The increase were given to Jesus to be blessed. What came, the increase that came was given to Jesus to be blessed. Now, how that looks, you know, there's a whole manner of things that can get complicated. Okay, well, what if you have the increase of a new house? How do you give the first 10% of a house? It's like, well, you know, say, this room's for the church. I don't know. I mean, you know, we can kind of get complicated and work out things. And I was talking about this with Steve. He asked me the exact same question. How do you tithe on a house? I was like, well, I don't know. You know, maybe it's just financial increase. Or when we're talking about in the biblical times, it was increase of harvest, wasn't it? The increase of the harvest was given. The increase of the livestock was given. And for in our modern day context, the finance is where we would focus that. And, you know, it's like, how do you tie the M&S gift card? Or I think I also go, how do you tie the Lego set? Because I got four Lego sets for Christmas this year. And I was thinking, right, okay, well, if I had to tithe 10% of my Lego set, then it would no longer be a set. It would be incomplete. Okay, so if we start finding bits of Lego in the offering, then that's cool. Send them to my office. But we get all confused about this stuff. And I think sometimes we get too confused and say, okay, let's look at finance for today and recognizing, okay, let's see that the bread and the fish resemble some kind of increase in our lives. For the moment, let's say finance. So we recognize financial increase comes, first fruits, 10%, bang, God, there you go. Thank you for blessing what I now have. But then this Malachi scripture goes in to say tithes and offerings. So it's not just the 10% which we return, it's everything above that. So some people think they're really good because they tithe and think it makes them generous. Like, that's not making you generous. I just really want to point that out, that to be a generous person, it's everything that is above and beyond that 10%. So before I got this, I used to think, oh, I tithe, that makes me generous. There's not many other people that pay that much into a charity or an organisation. It's like, ooh, okay, now I get what tithing is. It's not mine. I'm giving it back. So everything above and beyond that, everything we give, and the fact that here in Malachi it mentions not just tithes, but offerings as well, says to me that we're not just supposed to draw the sand, line in the sand when our 10% is returned. There's supposed to be something above and beyond that as well. There's supposed to be something that comes. And this is where the multiplication comes. Because as we give above and beyond, it starts to multiply. And something amazing happens. Of course, if you're not currently tithing, that's a really good place to start. Tithing is where we do remove the curse. And it brings blessing on our finances. Tithing is what causes God to rebuke the devil, and it opens the windows of heaven into our life. It opens an heaven over the top of us. It's the foundation for which our giving should be built. So it's not the starting point and the finishing point. It is the foundation point of saying, okay, tithing is the giving point. Whether that's giving financially, whether that's giving in service, whether that's giving in speaking, whether that's giving, whatever it is. However you give, or however you deem giving, the tithe is the foundation that comes in. Without that, all of a giving collapses or is void. Because God's still saying, I can see what you're doing, but without this, and anything without a foundation can't stand. Anything without a foundation becomes shaky. and our lives become shaky, because the tithe doesn't just impact our finances. The tithe impacts every aspect of our life. It has to be returned to Jesus. It has to be given to Jesus to be blessed. And then an amazing thing happens. He gives the blessed food back to the disciples. They receive back from God what was blessed. But it's far better now. It's not just to cook some bread and fish. It's blessed bread and fish. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want just bread and fish. I want blessed bread and fish. You know, I kind of would say that a fish from Vinny's has got the taste of being blessed. It's awesome. Yeah, Vinny's in Ibstock. If you're not been, try the lemon pepper fish. It is amazing. But, you know, it tastes like it's blessed. And I want blessed stuff. I want blessed things in my life. Do you want blessed things in your life? I want what comes into my life to be blessed. And when it comes to me, if it's not blessed, then I need to send it to the one who can bless it for me. I need to either return it to him, or I even need to commit it to him. When both of my sons have been born, one of the first things I've done in that delivery room, I say delivery room, in the surgery room, is straight away just pray, God, I just give this child to you. You know, not necessarily at a dedication service. I haven't done that kind of thing yet. But, you know, I was able to dedicate them straight away. Jesus, this child is yours. The increase is yours. Bless this child, Lord. And then, you know, he doesn't keep the child. He gives them back to us to, you know, keep us up at night and have to change the nappies. And, you know, here you go. Be blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. But those things that they come in, it's like, God, thank you for the increase in my life. Please bless it. Please do something with it so that it's blessed, so that I can receive it back from you in a blessed state, so that what I do with it next isn't only going to bless me, it's going to bless somebody else as well. If we look closely at that whole point of tithes and offerings in Malachi, in other words, tithes and offerings do remove the curse. Our tithe does, but also offerings kind of just brings in a bit more power as well. Brings in another level in as well. It brings in just something else that says, okay, this is well and truly sorted. It's tithes and offerings that rebuke the devourer. It really does do away with the enemy's schemes, because the first fruits actually belong to the Lord. The first fruits are his. We all got that. It's his anyway. It's like, here you go, mate. You can have back what's yours. So tithing isn't really giving. It's returning. It's returning, which is why you'll notice whenever we do the tithes and offerings here, we don't say there's an opportunity to give. We'll say there's an opportunity to give and return, because we're just returning back to God, which is rightfully is. To truly give, we have to go beyond our tithe. And that's when we see the principle of multiplication in action. That's when it kicks in and starts. That's when we start to see something amazing happen. That's when we start to see God do something. And I'm convinced that God wants to bless and multiply everything in our lives. All the good stuff. He wants to multiply our finances. He wants us to be blessed. He wants to multiply it like he did the loaves and the fish. The truth is that God can cause our finances to go further than we can. Okay, we can talk to all the best financial advisors, we can talk to all the best financial people, but God is able to do far more than anybody in their human thinking. For all the wisdom, for all the great things, for all the apps about controlling your money and all the things about doing these different bits and bobs, which are great, and I do like to have control of keeping track of my finances. We've got our little red book so we can enter in every time we spend something and see where we're at. And also match it up with the Santander app on your phone. And seeing all these things are great, but God is able to multiply and do something with our finances and the stuff in our lives far more than any person, any app, or any program can do. Amen? God is able to take it and do something far more than we could even imagine. And through that, he's doing more than we can with our cleverness or diligence. Okay, it's good to be clever and it's good to be diligent with our finances, but God is far greater than we are at that. And we know that it's true, and I know it's true because I've seen it operate in my own life. Time after time after time, I've seen God come through and work in my own life. You know, I'm not going to pick out any particular story, but I've seen times where we've hit the point where we've just got to the point, okay, God, things are just looking a bit tight this month. You know, who has a tight month from time to time? Things are just looking a bit tight. Things are just like, you know, this is in your budget for the rest of the month. And you think, it's not going to cover it. Okay, we'll have less meat on our shopping list this week. we'll eat vegetarian because it's cheaper this week. And what's a cheap meal? Okay, well, if we get a mince, then we can make it cover two meals. If we make a chili or a bolognese, and you know, we've probably all been in that place at some point of like, okay, make it spread, and then you kind of go and spend a fortune in one go at Christmas, and you get everything that you can't usually get. So it's like the little pot of Stilton and the salmon, and it's like, oh, where did all this stuff come from? And as we do that, we have found ourselves in that situation from time to time, but I know that the godly will not be seen begging in the street. And I'm able to look at Sam and just say, let's pray. Let's pray about this, because we tithe and we give above and beyond our tithe. And as we do that, I know that God's going to multiply what we give. So let's put our trust in him, because he's not going to see us hungry. He's not going to see us not blessed. He's not going to see us not being able to get our shopping. He's not going to do those things, because we're tithing and we're giving. And we are doing as we are instructed to do. And therefore, what we have is blessed. So I don't care if our working out say it's going to cost £200 to live for the rest of this month, and we've only got 100, because that 100 in the hands of an almighty God becomes like the loaves and the fish. And it soon starts to not just be a couple of loaves and fish. It becomes an all-you-can-eat banquet for 20,000 people and more left over, okay? And as we do that, but we've got to be able to have those things in place to be able to declare over our lives. Because when we hit those points in our life, if we can't declare those promises and scriptures over our lives because we haven't activated the foundation of tithing, then we're going to struggle. Because we can kind of say, God, I've messed up again. Please get me out of this problem. And he's like, oh. And God is gracious, don't get me wrong. And he has got a glorious grace that we've been singing about. And God does come to our aid and our help. But sometimes I think we can do ourselves a lot of favours by being able to say, okay, I do this. I am a tither, so therefore I'm going to be well. I am a tither, so therefore my finances are blessed and I'm going to see it multiply beyond what the book says and what the bank says. I am a tither, so therefore I'm going to see God's blessing poured into my life over and over and over. And countless times we've seen, you know, we look and all of a sudden you look at the bank, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? You realise you've worked out wrong. That was one of the greatest ones, when I got a text from Sam saying, things aren't as bad as I thought. I've kind of misunderstood and I've not budgeted for a £300 that's there. So it was like, oh. Like it was there all along, but you kind of felt blessed. You know what I mean? It's like the money was there all along, but we'd just like not recognise it. We like robbed ourselves and then kind of put it there again. Do you get what I mean? So it's like we weren't actually in a bad situation at all, but I'll tell you what, it activated our faith a little bit. It helped us with our maths. And as we do that, and as we see God come through, all of a sudden we're thinking, what we're going to do, how's this going to work? And then bang, something comes through. And you're like, whoa, praise God, he really does multiply what is given to him. He really does bless what is given to him. But the two principles of multiplication, the main things from this Luke scripture is this. Are you okay with this? Yeah. You're not feeling uncomfortable about the offering today? There is an offering today, but you know, do feel obliged to give. I'm just joking with you. Think of all that Christmas money you've got to tithe. I'm just kidding with you. Not really. Yeah. Okay, here's a principle. Principle one, we give to the Lord first so that our finances are blessed. Principle two, we give over and above our tithes because only that which is shared can be multiplied. Not only multiplies in your own life, but it multiplies in the hands of somebody else. Have you ever thought to yourself, at what point did the multiplication with the bread happen? Not in Jesus' hands. He didn't carry on giving it. He broke it and gave it to the 12 disciples. So at some point, the miracle happened either in their hands, or as it went into the hand of the other person. So Jesus blessed it, but the miracle happened in the disciples' hands, in the people's hands. How awesome is that? Jesus blesses it, and he gives it back to them, and then the miracle happens in the whosoever's hand. Awesome. Awesome stuff. And that's where the multiplication happens. As soon as it started giving it away, as I said at the beginning, the disciples could have kept it for themselves and had a really blessed meal. But they didn't. But they would also have been robbed of a miracle, wouldn't they? And you know what the great thing is about this? And that final point where they collected 12 baskets full, I'm kind of thinking that out of the loaves and the fish that they had, it was blessed, they had it. They'd have had to probably scrounge just to feed the 12 of them. But they all ended up with a basket each, having already fed around 20,000 people, because the multiplication principle was action by the fact that it was given to Jesus, it was blessed, and then it was given away. So we have to see it shared before it can multiply. I still don't know. That was one of my questions to ask. At what point did the multiplication happen? Where did this bread and fish expand? How did that look? Because I've kind of tried it and it didn't work. Okay, tried it at McDonald's, and we also tried turning water to wine at the Christmas party at Rothy as well, and that didn't happen either. And that was at Bible College. But then again, you're not supposed to drink, so it wouldn't have been as good, would it, if it had just turned water into schlur? Oh, I remember that miracle of where Jesus turned the water into Ribena. It's kind of like, you know... Okay. You could do a little trickly. You know those little light squeezy things you can get, the Robinson's ones? If you had one strapped to your wrist, and you're just like, bless this wine, and kind of Spider-Man web shooter style. Wow, look at that. Drink deep. Enjoy your Ribena. You know, this kind of... Yeah, it just doesn't work. I'll keep trying, though. Maybe one day. But there's a lot... we limit our finances by not doing those things, but any increase that comes into our life is there to multiply. And it's not just our finances, but any increase. And that's what I really want to get across today about this multiplication thing, that any increase that comes into your life, whether that's new knowledge, whether that's something that you learned this morning, whether it's something that you learn in the prayer meeting, whether it's something you learn during the midweek, whether it's something you learn watching TBN, whether it's something you learn reading a new book, whatever it is, new revelation, it comes in. But we've got to be prepared to start to give it away to see that multiplication, because just like the bread and the fish, if we keep it for ourselves, it doesn't activate and nothing happens with it. We are here not for ourselves, but we are here for others. The disciples had to soon recognize that they were here, they were there to give the bread and the fish to the multitudes, not just to feed themselves. Because I'm guessing they were pretty hungry. You know, they'd had a really long service that day. You know, they think it's, okay, 12 o'clock's gone, 1 o'clock's gone. Oh, come on, mate. How long are we going to be doing this for? This is we're supposed to finish now. We're going to be rolling into the evening service before we even finish the day service. But, you know, they were probably hungry. They must have thought, But they gave it away. And it doesn't say that they had a bite themselves and then gave it away. It just says they started to give it away. So I like to think, and this, you know, this is just paraphrasing really, that they fed all of those 20,000 people first before they sat down and fed themselves. Mm-hmm. Awesome, eh? Yeah. Putting those other people first. That was an amazing thing. But as we have that increase come into our lives, however that increase looks, whatever shape it takes, we've got a responsibility of saying, Jesus, this is now come into my life. Take it and bless it. And he'll either give us it back, blessed, to do something with, or he won't. But I've never known anything be given to God to be blessed and it not be returned back. It comes back in its blessed form. And then we have a choice at this point. In fact, giving it to Jesus and to be blessed is the easy bit. The point comes where Jesus then returns it to us. And we have this choice to recognize, okay, what do I do with this now? Do I keep this for myself? Because this is blessed and I want to be blessed. Or do I give it away? Do I do something with it? Do I go and speak to somebody about the message that I heard on Sunday? Do I go and speak to somebody about what God did in my life at a midweek? Do I go and speak to somebody about what God's doing in my personal times? Or do I just keep it for myself? Because I can guarantee if you keep it for yourself, it will grow stale, unused, and it will become useless. And that which was once blessed will no longer be blessed. It will lose its effectiveness. And we just end up back where we were again. Okay, God, I give it to you to be blessed. And he's gracious and he'll keep going round in circles with us forever, I should imagine. But we can save ourselves a lot of hassle if we are ready to say, okay, Jesus, I thank you for the increase that's coming to my life. Now, what shall I do with it? And a great way to start is whenever increase comes into your life, don't assume it's for you. If you can grasp that and live that way, however it might be that comes into your life, whatever, however this increase looks, don't assume it's for you. If you learn something new on a Sunday, don't assume it's for you. If you have some money handed to you, don't assume it's for you. If you get a pay rise at work, don't assume it's for you. Just assume, okay, God, what am I supposed to do with this? I know for me, this is a difficult principle for me to get a hold of. If somebody slips me a 50 quid, I'm thinking one thing, new Lego set. After it's tithed, of course. But Sam's a bit more better at this than I am. She's like, well, can we pray about what we're supposed to do with this? I'm like, oh yeah, that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? So, yeah, I'm kind of like, you know, I've got to be honest. It's not always my initial response. Or if I learn something new, if I read something in a book, my initial response isn't, right, okay, who can I bless with this? Probably more with that way I do. People get cornered on a day-to-day basis in this place. I've got to bless Rita, because she usually cops for it more than anybody. It starts off as a brief conversation, and then I download a whole teaching into Rita, and it's like, so there you go. Well, that's what God's been teaching me. But, you know, hopefully you're blessed, Rita, by our little conversations. But, you know, these things come into my life, and I think, okay, well, what is it in this? What's for me? What is it that's supposed to be for me? And what is it that I'm supposed to bring on a Sunday morning into church? What is it I'm supposed to bring at a midweek? What is it I need to go and speak to somebody about personally because I can see the struggling and this is going to really bless and help them? And that's, you know, that's just the challenge of a pastor and leading a church. When God does something, you think, is this for me or is this for the church? And then eventually you find that it's for you. And then about a year's time, you bring it into the church as well. And yeah, it's a funny thing, but don't assume that the increase that comes is for you. Because I think sometimes our human nature can do that. Great, I'm blessed, I've got this stuff. Now I can do this with it. But don't assume it's for you. Pray through. Okay, what am I supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do with this finance? Is this supposed to be used to bless somebody else? Is it supposed to be used to bless a charity? Is it supposed to be to pour out into a charity? This year we were able to sit down and just pray, God, where should our money go this Christmas? Where should the, you know, we're not going to buy presents. Where should it go? And we're able to pray through all these different charities and say, okay, well, they're doing that work. Let's do it to them. They're doing that work. Let's send it to them. It's very easy to want to just keep it for yourself. But I love knowing the fact that one of the places that we sent to was the Salvation Army. And I love the fact that I see those adverts on the telly and just thinking, wow, that however much money in my life would have like not bought very much. But when it was put in the hands of those people for that specific purpose, it did something far greater, did something far more amazing. And so, yeah, pray through when you get that increase in your life. Where's this supposed to go? What am I supposed to do with this? How does this look for me? Increase comes, we offer it to Jesus, he blesses it, he gives it back to us, and then we either choose to keep the blessing for ourselves or we give it away and see the multiplication come in our lives and others. Heard a great story recently. I remember a couple of weeks ago, we took a special offering for Jay and Rosemary and the kids who've moved back down to London for a short time and are planning to get back out into the States. And we took an offering here at church for them just to bless them because they're an amazing family and we love them really very much. And, you know, I can say that they're constantly trusting God's supply into their lives. But I was amazed to hear what they'd done with the offering that we took for them. You know, get this, because this is like awesome stuff. They used some of the money to kind of bless the kids and do some stuff with the kids, but then the rest of it, they used it to make up parcels to take out to the homeless on Christmas Eve. So I just want to say bless you guys, those of you that gave into that special offering, because that's a principle of multiplication. I don't know how much you put in there, but whatever it was, think of all those parcels and packages that have multiplied into those people's lives. In your hands, it might have done one thing. In someone else's hands, it's done something far different. And as we start to see this, in the hands of Jesus, the bread was blessed. In the hands of the disciples, it was given away. And then it multiplied. And it was something far greater a miracle took place, a miracle happened. So don't always assume it's for you, but kind of pray through and think, what am I supposed to do with this? How does this work? And these are the principles of multiplication. This is where we really start to see multiplication take place. And they're powerful today as they were then. When Jesus fed all those people, they're as powerful today as they were then. It's not necessarily with two fish and five loaves of bread. But whatever it is, whatever increase comes into your life, you can see the blessing of multiplication by returning to God, the tithe, the first fruits, the offering, the above and beyond, and then recognizing and seeing, okay, this is not just for me. How can I see this multiply and go far further than what it could have done in my own hands and see more and more released? And I can guarantee one thing, because I've seen this principle, I'm going to close on this. I've seen this at work in my own life, that when I stay true to what God is asking me to do, I'm never short, my finances never run dry, and God is always providing for me and my family. And when I say providing, I'm not talking about driving around in a nice fancy car. I'm not talking about wearing all the best clothes or having all the great things. But God provides. And we are a blessed family because we are able to make that declaration, as I mentioned before. We are a family that tithes. We are a family that gives. We are a people who try to stop ourselves from, as soon as increase comes, doing something with it, but asking God, how should I do this? What should I do with this? And God always pulls back in. I love the fact that the disciples ended up with a basket each. Okay? You can have a fish sandwich or you can have a whole basket full. But the multiplication principle pretty much works that way. But it always requires faith. You know, at what point was the faith activated in the disciples? It's like, okay, thanks, Jesus. What am I going to do with this now? And you just imagine the faith arising in them. One group of 50 has just been fed. Another group of 50. Another group of 50. Like, where's all this stuff coming from? Well, this is crazy. Is this real? Is this really happening? What's going on? Another 50, another 50, another 50. And then they pick up all that. It's like, well, there's still some left over. But that is how God works in our lives. When we are willing to give to Jesus, to dedicate to Jesus, to return to Jesus, and to give to Jesus so that it can be blessed, it comes back to us blessed. And then when we receive it back blessed, and we decide what we're going to do with it, we can then have an opportunity to see multiplication come into our own lives, poured out into our lives, poured out into others' lives, and know and be guaranteed at the end of that cycle, you're going to have more than you had at the start. And that principle is at work now in your life. And if you're not a tither, it can be. If you don't give, it can be. Because I can trust you that God will give. Because you can't outgive God. In whatever way you try. It's like Brewster's Millions, if you remember that film. You know, was he got 24 hours to spend like so much money and he can't do it? It's a bit like that with God. We can try our best to give more and more and more, but God's like, ha ha, got you. You think, okay, I've got you this time, God. It's like, boom, there you go. Like, no, nearly. But God is going to keep pouring out into your life. If what you have is blessed, it then can multiply. And when it multiplies, it blesses others and it blesses you. Amen.